I was listening to a podcast the other day, and this guy was talking about Jesus, and he talked about, I need to get this right, the triumvirate of Christ and his attributes. And I thought to myself, what on earth are you talking about? Because I didn't know what a triumvirate was, so I had to go and look it up. I would ask for hands in the building, but there's only about six of us. Pete knows, of course. Peter knows. But it's actually, it's three things, the main three things. And this guy was talking about the fact, when you look in the Gospel of John, there are three things that you see, the triumvirate of Christ, his attributes, which is love, joy, and peace. And I thought, well, that is a brilliant thing to talk about this morning. How we, when we think about Christmas, we do think about the fact that Christ brought love, joy, and peace. Yeah. But actually, what we know is, as Christians, that is an ongoing experience that we can have. Love, joy, and peace. So my message this morning will be very simple and maybe very short. But we're going to explore these three things. Because you see, the truth is, the Christmas story is a love story, isn't it? We have Mary and Joseph very much in love. And Joseph, when he is told that Mary is expecting, he kind of thinks, well, how can I respect her? How can I love her, but work through this difficult situation? And then we think about the fact that when Jesus is born, the love that Mary would have had for him. But what we see throughout is we see the love of God, don't we? Because the Bible is very clear that God has given us a son. And we've heard that this morning in Isaiah chapter 9, that God has given us his son. We see that in John chapter 3, where God so loved the world that he gave. And you'll be thinking about who you're going to give presents to. And you'll be thinking about how much you're going to spend on them. And maybe the person who lives next door, you think to yourself, well, let's give them a box of biscuits, or maybe you're not going to be that generous. Let's give them a card, but you wouldn't do that to your children. You think to yourself, you know, I love my kids, and I want to give them something really precious and good for Christmas. And what the amount of love we have for someone very often would dictate what we want to give them. Perhaps we can't give them what we really want to. But the more we love them, perhaps the greater the gift. And it says that God so loved the world that he gave us the most precious thing. He gave us his son. And you know, that's a very much a New Testament thing. We see that in the New Testament about the love of God. But when we look in the Old Testament, there are two things I want to say about the love of God we find in the Old Testament. The first one is found in Jeremiah 31, verse 3, a book you would know so well, because we all love reading Jeremiah, don't we? On, you know, to lift us up. But actually, Jeremiah 31, there's some great passages in it, and it says this: The Lord appeared to us in the past, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. And so the love of God is everlasting. It doesn't stop. It doesn't stop at any moment. It's from the beginning. It will be to the very end if there is one. But it also says in Psalm 103, as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. God's love reaches down from heaven to every single one of us. And it came especially when Christ entered this world. It is a love that is so vast, so wide, so high, so everything for each one of us, that God loved us. Yeah. And the wonderful thing is that God's love is, firstly, it is unconditional. And it is, secondly, unbreakable. Whatever we do, whatever we say, doesn't change the fact that God loves us immensely, so much that he gave us his son. Nothing can break the love of God for you. We often think, don't we, about Christmas, and I think probably the film Elf, we love. Stuart is sat at the front going, awesome. But it talks about the list, doesn't it? Yeah. Are you on the good list, or are you on the naughty list? And maybe when we think about our lives, if we were to sort of say, well, where am I with God today? How am I doing? Are you on his good list, or are you on his naughty list? Have you drifted away from God? It doesn't matter when it comes to the love of God, where you are. God loves you still the same. And that is a wonderful truth that we need to hold on to, that God's love does not change. And as this Christmas time, let's think about love, this love that he has shown us, this love that brought him from heaven to earth. Philippians chapter 2, I think, is an amazing passage. But it just reminds us of the love of God. Because it tells us that Jesus, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but he made himself nothing.
Yeah.
That is the love of God for you and for me. It's immense. But also, we're reminded in Ephesians, it's something we can know and experience for ourselves. So we've talked about love. Let's just talk about joy, shall we? Maybe joy is not abounding at the moment because of what is happening in our world. The thought of Christmas, instead of becoming something we're looking forward to, is something that we are really concerned about. And maybe today you're thinking, do I do a test? And if I have a test, a lateral flow test, is it going to turn out, is it going to be positive? And is that going to ruin my Christmas? And maybe joy, we're putting joy on hold because we don't know what is coming. But when we think about joy, joy was something that came down at Christmas. We hear the message of the angels to the shepherds. And they said, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. We all want good news. Of great joy. This wasn't just a small amount of joy. This was to be great joy. And it was to be for everyone. And so joy literally came down at Christmas. It wasn't just for a short time. It was for all men, everywhere, forever. And this is interesting because actually for the Jews at the time, they were under Roman rule. It would have been a really hard time. It wouldn't have been a time of joy for them. But the angels turn up and say, this is going to be a time of joy for everyone. Great joy. Why? Because the Savior, who is Christ the Lord, is born. And so physically, the Savior of the world had been born in a stable. He is Christ the Lord. He's the Messiah. He is God himself. So here we have the presence of God with us, but also we have the salvation of God. This is joy indeed for all mankind, because God has come to be born in a stable for each of us. And joy is an ongoing experience for every Christian, or should be. It shouldn't be dependent on the circumstances we face. It is the joy knowing that we have salvation, that we have God who is with us. Do you know joy this Christmas? Is it your portion? Because I believe it can be. I believe it depends on where we look. Are we going to look at the circumstances around us? Are we going to look at what's happening in our world with COVID-19? Or are we going to look to God, the one we can trust, the one who loves us, who has died for us and is with us? So we've talked about love, we've talked about joy, and lastly we're going to talk about peace. Because the angels came and they sang, and it says, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favour rests. It's funny, isn't it? We use that phrase, rest in peace, when people are dead. But actually, surely resting in peace should be a living experience for every person who knows God. Because God promises us his peace. He sent Christ, who is the Prince of Peace, for every one of us. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And Jesus said these words, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid.
Amen.
In Jesus' darkest hour, he promised his disciples that they would have and know peace. And peace is something that we find throughout the New Testament. Many of the letters that Paul wrote start with grace and peace from God. 2 Thessalonians 3 says, may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times. Philippians 4 says, and may the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. To guard your minds. And in Colossians 3 it says, and may the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. I wonder what rules in your heart. I think it's true. Maybe some of us at this time are fearful. Maybe we are worried. Maybe we are anxious with what's happening in the world. But what the Bible says is we should let peace rule in our hearts. That should be the thing that is in charge. That is the thing that should be at the center of our heart, the peace of God. Yeah. It is a wonderful gift that Christ brought into the world. It is for you and it is for me. Amen. And I think it's really important today that we think about that peace. But we know that peace within us. For our heart, for our families, for ourselves. Because maybe we are worried about the future. Maybe we're worried about our welfare, about our health. Let us focus on God. Let us receive his peace. Love, joy, and peace. These are the candles. Some of the candles that we have lit today. Because they remind us that in Christ we can have love, joy, and peace. It is a gift that he has given to every one of us. Yeah. It's my prayer that this Christmas, that we experience those things, because they're not just something for our head, but it's something we can experience in our heart. Yeah. But there's one more thing I want to say, is that when we receive them, surely these are gifts that we should give to others. Yeah. They're gifts that God has given us, but surely we should be people who share the love of God with others. By the way we live, by the way we care, for the kindness we show. We should be people who are filled with joy. The joy that God gives us should radiate from us. And lastly, we should bring peace to the situations we've come into, to the people we know. We should be peace bringers to them. Jesus came and brought love, joy, and peace. And today, those are gifts that he has given us. Yeah. And my prayer is that this Christmas we will know each one of them within our hearts, but we will share them with friends and family, that they too might know these things. I want us to pray, and then the team are going to lead us in some more worship. Let's take a moment, shall we, to be still. Let's take a moment to consider those three things. Let's firstly thank God for his love. Father, we do thank you for your amazing love. Lord, it is so wide we can't go around. It's so high we can't get over. It's so low we can't go under it. It is truly amazing that you love us so much. And we thank you, the evidence of your love is the fact that you gave your son to become a man, to live among us, but also to give his life as a sacrifice so that we might be forgiven. Today, Lord, we thank you for your love and we pray that we would experience it. We pray we would experience the warmth and the depth of your love for us. We thank you too for joy, that Christ brought the joy of heaven down to earth to share with us. And we pray that today, through your Holy Spirit, may we know the joy of Christ. Lord, we know that times are hard and circumstances are difficult, but we do pray that your joy would fill our lives, that we would radiate it and share it with others, that we would bring joy into the situations we walk into. And lastly, Lord, we pray that your peace may abound. We pray that we might know it in our hearts, that we might be men and women and boys and girls who know your peace. Lord, I want to pray that too we would share it with others. That the peace of Christ might be spread abroad through us. So, Lord, we thank you for this Christmas time. We thank you for Jesus. We thank you for his love and joy and peace. May we know it and may we share it, we pray, in his name. Amen. Amen. Thank you very much. God bless you.